Good morning. How are y'all doing? Good. It's good. It was a little creepy. I'm sorry. I don't know why actually that was so creepy. But hey, so this morning we're going to continue our series called Short Stories. And we're going to be looking at Matthew 25 verses 1 through 13. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. We're going to be looking at the story, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And as you're turning there, I thought it would be fun, kind of goes along with the message today, to take a little pop quiz. Do you guys like pop quizzes? No. I know it's Sunday and we're at Fuel, and it's different than school, but it's a pop quiz. So I need you to help me out here. I have four questions. And I want you to answer these. So, let's begin. Number one, Jesus is the Son of God, but who is Jesus? Sam. Close. Jesse. Close. Close. Sarah's got it. Jesus is God. Who's got John? Who's got Bible? Go to John 10, verse 30, and just stand and read it. Whoever gets it first, go. Got to read it really loud. Go ahead, Dave. Man, you're like, go ahead.
I and my Father are one.
There you go. There you go. Or look at John 14, verse 6 and 7 later on. So number two, here we go. I need you to fill in the blank. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in
heaven.
I've got multiple choice. The Bible, Hades, Israel, or heaven?
Heaven.
Anybody say anything other than heaven? I'm just kidding. I highly doubt it. Number three, what was the name of the prophet who prepared, the Bible says, prepared the way for the Lord? John the Baptist, exactly. Not Thomas the Doubter or St. Peter. Last one, this one's a little bit trickier. In Romans, the Bible describes how we are able to test and approve what God's will is. What does it say to do? The Bible says, well, here, I'll get a multiple choice. Don't eat unclean meat, be in the world, but not of it, or don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but renew your mind.
C.
I heard it's always C, but it's not always C. So today we're going to be talking about preparing to meet Jesus, and I thought it would be fun, like we just did, to do a little surprise test, because we really don't know when Christ is going to return, but he is coming. And I started thinking about this in terms of you know, like a pop quiz or a pop test, and I started to think, I want to give you guys just a little bit of a heads up. Some of you seniors, some of you 11th grade, you guys, you need to know this stuff when you prepare to go to college. Because here's what happened to me. I was ready. When I was done with school, like my senior year, I was like finished with school. Like I didn't really think about it very much until I got there. And here's a little heads up. One of the first things I did at college was take a test. And I didn't know that was coming. So, like, all throughout high school, middle school, like, I'm learning, like, English and music and, like, all of these things that I'm supposed to know when I get to college, right? But college was coming up, and it was my senior year. I graduated, I was done, and I just kind of forgot a lot of the stuff that I learned. And I didn't know that when I get to college, that one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to take, like, an entrance level exam for English and for music. And if you do well in those classes, you're going to test out of the things and of different classes, and you can actually accelerate your school by doing well on these exams. And I don't know how I did it, because like I said, I really didn't prepare much for it. I had no idea it was coming, but I ended up passing the the English part, but the music, man, if I had known that I could have passed out of music, like music was one of the hardest classes in my school, but I wasn't prepared for it because I just totally let everything go. Forgot everything that I had learned. I wasn't prepared. And as I began to think about school and tests, you know, the reality is so many of us, we study for the test. All that we're studying for is the test. And once the test passes, we really forget. We don't really learn to learn. We learn to be scored and to get a good grade. And I began to think about that in our relationship with God and how God is calling us to be ready to meet him at any moment, at any time. We don't know when. But how we are to be prepared. That one day that we are going to be with Jesus in heaven. That this is not our home. That we're going to have to give an account for the choices that we made, the things that we did when we were by ourselves. And so often we go about our daily life just kind of living life. And you know, the danger is that when we forget about God, we walk away, just like any relationship that's neglected, start to drift apart. Last week, I had the opportunity to speak over in the Heritage Service. How many of you guys know what the Heritage Service is? Didn't think so. So they have the service for really old people here at the church. It's cool. Like, you might think, oh, old people. No, it's awesome. And I did this thing. It was very, very daring. I had everybody, I said, hey, I wanted to know how long people had been following Christ. And I said, all right, if you've been following Christ for 20 years, raise your hand. A whole bunch of hands went up. I said, all right, and these people are old, remember. How many people have been following Christ for 30 years? A whole bunch of hands stay up. How many of you have been following Christ for 50 years? A whole bunch of hands went up. Went all the way to 80 years old. Like, there are some people over there that have been following Jesus for 80 years. 80 years. Still waiting to meet Jesus. And here's the thing. They didn't get there by accident. They did not become 80-year Christians by accident. Day by day, they have been preparing to meet Jesus. So this morning, I want to, we're going to read through the passage, and then we're going to like dissect it. So just to give you a little bit of a backstory of this parable, this story, this is the almost like the third in stories like this. This was like the climax of what Jesus had been telling the people about preparing themselves to be ready to meet God when he returns. If you look back, how many of you guys were on Facebook this week and in the Facebook group for our church students? If you're not and you're on Facebook, let me know. Send me a message and I'd love to get you in on that. Give you heads up for the messages and get you more prepared for what God's going to do in your hearts this weekend and throughout the week. You guys paying attention over there? Okay. So, but when on the Facebook thing, I said, hey, check out Matthew 24, verses 42 through 51. And that's the kind of the beginning stages of the two other stories that go along with this passage. In Matthew 24, 42, Jesus is talking and he's telling people that really Jesus could come back at any time, at any time. And it's kind of like the unexpectedness of the Messiah is what that story is all about. And then moving into verse 45 through 51, it's how you can't just be passive. Like, you have to be looking. You have to be ready. We have a responsibility to watch out for Christ when he will return. And then today we're going to be talking more about the need to be prepared in case for the delay. So we're going to read again. Check it out. So, like I said, we're going to dissect it like Fruit Ninja. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The 5 who were foolish did not take enough oil for the lamps, but the other 5 were wise to take along extra oil. So as I learned about this passage and kind of figured out what it was talking about, just want to give you a little bit a heads up for the oil. The lamps that they used, they were like oil-fed lamps. There were torches. They kind of like had like a torch with like a rag wrapped around it. And it was used obviously for fire and for a lamp. So the oil here in this story, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of different theories for what the oil represents. The oil is not good works. The oil is not the Holy Spirit or having enough faith. Or people really don't know. The bottom line of what this story is trying to portray with the oil is being prepared. That's kind of it. Just the fact that they were prepared. Verse 5, the bridegroom was delayed, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Notice that it wasn't just the wise people who stayed awake. Everybody fell asleep. Both the wise and the fool fell asleep. It was the delay of the bridegroom that led them both to sleep. At midnight, when they were roused by a shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up. They prepared their lamps. Notice they all had lamps. They all looked the same. Like, you probably wouldn't have been able to tell at that moment who was wise and who was a fool. Verse 8, "Then the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go out to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they had gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, but the door was locked." So the wise, they had extra oil. They had some prepared, stored away, enough to wait for the bridegroom. The fool, they didn't have any extra. The oil could not be transferred. You know, just like faith cannot be transferred from your parents to you or from you to a friend, the oil that they had was the oil that they needed to get to the party. They couldn't hand their oil off, and then they wouldn't have enough for themselves and for the other person. If you check out Romans 14, 10 through 12, one of the things it says is remember that we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Each and every one of us, we're accountable for our own faith, our own decisions. We can't rely on other people to make good decisions for us or to be good enough Christians for us, because it's our relationship with the Lord. Verse 11 says, "Later the other five bridesmaids returned. They stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open up the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day or the hour of my return.'" We don't know. But each and every one of us, we have to live prepared. We have to live lives that are prepared for whenever Christ might come back. How about you today? How is your faith? Are you living a life that is preparing to meet Jesus when he returns? How will he find your heart? How will he find your heart? Will you be ready to go? Just like only when Jesus returned, we were able to see who was the wise and who was the fool in the story. Christ's return will reveal our true character, our true heart. All the bridesmaids, they all seemed similar until the bridegroom came. In the church, some of us, we appear Christ-like. So going through the motions, but not knowing Christ. When he returns, there will be no hiding. Everything will be revealed. Romans 2:12 says that this message that I proclaim, the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets to light and reveal our private motives. Then God will give each of us, each one, whatever praise is due. So today, as we get ready to close, I want to challenge you. I hope that this message does two things. For those of you who are following Jesus, I hope that this message encourages you. I hope that you hear the reminder that Jesus is coming back, that we are like waiting for the bridegroom, waiting for him. We are the church, the body of Christ. We are his bride. And he is going to return. And I hope that is very encouraging news for you. For those of you who are on the fence, pretending to love God, pretending that your faith is alive, but ignoring him in your life, ignoring the life that he gives, I hope that this challenges you to look at your heart, to ask you, which side of the fence do you want? Because Jesus wants all of you, and the life that he gives is better than any life that we could come up with on our own. I heard recently somebody talking about training for a triathlon. And for those of you who don't know what a triathlon is, it's three parts. It's a race. It's three parts. You swim. You go and you swim for a whole bunch of yards, like 750. And then you get on a bike and you bike for like 12 miles. And then you run for like 3 or 4 miles. And you do that all in the same day, one right after another. And I was talking with somebody, and they were telling me how they prepare for this type of race, and what this person said kind of spoke to me about how we are to be prepared. They said that they don't really have a specific structured schedule of what to do and how to prepare. They said basically they are always running, they are always swimming. And when they can, they get on the bike and they go riding. And it kind of hit me, like what this person is saying is that they're not just getting ready for one race. Like they are living a life where they could basically race at any time because their body is always in condition to go. That it's not like, I've got to do this, and this to get ready for this testing day. Their body is always conditioned, always prepared for this triathlon. I thought that was really cool. And we too, we must not have a short-term focus with our faith. We don't know when Christ is going to come back. And when he does, will you be ready? I just want to say that this message isn't to scare you, but really just to assess and challenge your faith and my faith. Make us ask the question, am I preparing for a lifelong relationship of following Jesus till his glorious return, being an 80 plus Christian over in the Heritage Service where it's cool to be old? Am I setting myself up to be prepared to follow Jesus for a lifetime? The band's going to come forward right now and we're going to sing a couple songs. I'm just going to pray as they walk up. Lord, God, we thank you for this story. God, that challenges us to be living lives that are prepared to meet you at any moment. God, not that we need to live paranoid or scared, but God, that you love us and you have prepared places for us in heaven. God, that when we are here on earth, that God, you give us life, you give us hope, you give us love. God, I thank you that you gave us your Son. Lord, I pray is that as we go into this time of worship, Lord, that you would check our hearts. God, that if we are on the fence in our relationship with you, and God, that you would draw us close. God, that today, if we've been riding the fence, that Lord, today we would choose to follow you. God, that we would hear you calling, that we would answer. And we would make you first in our lives. We would go all in for you. Because you went all in for us. Lord, I pray that you would check our hearts. In your name I pray.